Hey everybody, it's Jim and Aaron back with another episode of the First Run Bald Movies. Tonight we're seeing the film, Arrival, directed by Denis Villeneuve, I think is how you pronounce that. Which jogged my memory, and I'm like, I just looked that up on Wikipedia because I've been entering a whole bunch of community commissions in our store, and this guy directed a 2013 film Prisoners starring Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Never heard of it.
It's a crime film that got some note, and he also directed Sicario last year, which I've heard of, I have not seen. This movie stars Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner, among others.
Forest Whitaker. Part, yeah.
It's been a good last week or two for who's the guy from Boardwalk Empire?
Michael Stuhlbarg. I don't know how you say that.
But who do you play?
Arnold Rothstein.
AR. Yeah. It's been a good week for old Arnold Rothstein.
Yeah, last week we saw him in Doctor Strange.
Yep, playing in slightly inept neurosurgeon, and this week he's playing a, I don't know what you call him, inept.
Neurosurgeon. He's reprising his role from Doctor Strange.
He's a CIA agent trying to make sense of a world where aliens have come to visit us. Jim, what'd you think of this movie?
Also got Mark O'Brien, which if anybody's watching Halt and Catch Fire, he's Tom. He's been in it for a couple seasons now. Also good. So the premise of the movie, I didn't know anything about this movie going in,
other than it's about aliens.
I had seen the image of these pod things, whatever they were, that's really the only thing that's out there that I saw about this. But then I got in and it starts off very slow. It starts off extremely slow, and I don't know that it ever actually picks up pace so much as things come to natural kind of flows throughout the movie.
Yeah,
and I was really worried, like 20 minutes into this, that I wasn't going to like it.
I was just letting it because you're right. The movie is very slow. It's very quiet. It's very deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's for everyone.
No.
I think if you don't like Contact,
sure.
If you don't like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. If it's got a little bit of like Astronaut's Wife in it too, because there's this like kind of an emotional plot that's progressively revealed throughout the movie. And I think that's what you mean. I don't think the movie ever picks up pace. There's a few kind of, I mean, I hesitate.
But more important things start happening, I guess.
They're action moments in the way that, like, the apparatus exploding in Contact is an action moment.
Right.
It's something that happens, and then something has to be dealt with. But it's not like a big explosion. There's no Hollywood really special effects. All the special effects are solid and convincing, but they're not flashy.
If you don't have any idea what this film is about, it's essentially trying to understand an alien language. Is the large, you know, kind of the overarching premise of this movie.
And I thought of some of that stuff as fascinating, just the scholarship and the research that went into it, and the and there's a lot of stuff that felt very real and even frustrating about the way the nations dealt with the crisis and the problem.
Sure, but also something very understandable about it.
Sure.
There's a certain thing about the particular alien language that, it looks really cool. It's very visually stunning.
They communicate entirely in coffee stains.
They do. They do.
They've come from the planet Starbuck.
Yeah. You can tell this was a novel before it was ever a movie, because I bet that's where they got the idea for the shape of that. But there's something about the language that is gradually revealed over the course of the movie that is very, very interesting. And that's what I would describe this movie as, interesting.
It's
the same way, like you said, as Contact. It's
a thinker.
Right. It has geopolitics in it, like you're saying, like all these different countries trying to figure this out. It has an emotional core to it, I think.
Yeah, it has.
More surprisingly than I would have guessed.
It has an emotional payload that really sneaks up on you because of the layered way in which this movie tells a story, because that's the thing. It's like
and it's wrapped up so intricately with the idea of this alien language that
there's a twist, but it's not really a twist, such as by the time you've gone on this journey, a different point of view of what you've seen.
I will say, by the end of this movie, watching it felt like experiencing what the main character was understanding over the course of the movie.
And I kind of thought, that's the thing, because when I was like you, I wasn't worried, but I'm like, two-thirds of the movie, I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm going to say about this movie. Like, it's interesting, and I've enjoyed my time watching it, but it really is impressive in the way that it communicates its core conceit and themes and, you know, the universe that it's trying to show. And it kind of really sneaks up on you in the last, like, it really just comes together in, like, the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Right.
So, but, like, again, I think there's a lot of people that are just going to fucking snore through this thing and they're not going to get it and they're going to be bored and they're going to think it's stupid and they're going to want to know when something blows up and...
Does blow up.
You will get an explosion.
So
you'll get like 16 frames of a fireball.
Right.
I really don't want to say much more about the movie. It's very slow.
But I want to talk a lot about it.
It's very slow. It's very cerebral. It's got really great performances. A Jeremy Renner performance I've never really seen before. Like, I've always seen him as, like, an action dude.
Right.
He's Hawkeye, he's Jason Bourne, whatever the fuck is, Faux Bourne.
Yeah.
Here, he's a fucking scientist and kind of nails it.
I think so, yeah. Other than being maybe a little more muscly than your average scientist.
Yeah, he actually reminded me a lot of, shit, what's that guy?
Matthew Broderick.
He's the guy that plays Stick in Daredevil.
Oh yeah,
you know that guy. He plays a submarine commander in Red October,
right?
And when he first walks, like Jeremy Renner first walks in, he's got those kind of wireframe glasses, and he's got the and I'm like, holy shit! He looks like this like your classical stereotypical nerdy nuclear physicist submarine commander, because he's got like he's still got enough of that, I guess, military or tough guy gravitas,
right,
but he's still like a straight up nerd. So
yeah, and Amy Adams just nails this.
Man, she's fascinating.
She has to play a lot of different parts here, or express a lot of different emotions, and I think she nails it.
And I've seen her play so many things. I've seen her play like a total sex pot. I've seen her play a damsel in distress, and here she's playing a middle-aged mom who's happens to be one of the top linguists on the planet. So she's really incredible. Has Forrest Whitaker got a droopy eye, or is that something he was affecting? Yeah.
No, he's always got a droopy
eye. I've never noticed him having a droopy eye.
How can you not notice that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I've never seen him on the big screen before. But, yeah, no, I've never noticed that about him.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he was affecting that, or they'd made him up for it. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting choice.
Right. No, that's just him.
But it's funny because
he's putting on an accent.
You know, usually in this movie, the military figure is there to be loud and dumb and stupid and, we got to launch the missiles. And he's not. And I thought that was like, good. I don't want, because that's the thing. There's a little bit of that in the movie. But I get increasingly frustrated when there's an alien quote-unquote invasion movie and, like, Earth responses to launch their fucking biplanes and their spears and their arrows. Like, this thing traveled the vast interstellar space faster than light, and you're going to fucking shoot ballistic weapons at it? Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like, good luck. You are now the Zulu, and they have the minigun, so you know enough. And I'm glad that the movie largely subverts that, so...
Yeah.
Do you have any?
Even
though
it acknowledges it as well, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't ignore it.
Clearly, that's the thing. First contact. I've thought a lot about how it will go, but you cannot. You know, the way the media and the way people work is like one of the very first things you're going to think of is, oh shit, what are we going to do if these things decide to fight us?
Right.
Because of all the things I just said, like, we're essentially helpless.
Well, we already know. Zefram Cochrane's going to build a warp drive. He's
going
to go out. He's going to get spotted.
I thought Jeff Goldblum was going to whip up us an Apple virus.
Oh, David! I was waiting for Harvey Fierstein to come out there and start shouting about the alien language.
So, I don't know if you got any more to say non-spoilery about this.
No.
I feel like you if you're the type of person that's going to see this movie, you already know it, and I'm giving you the green light on that. I think you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not exactly a popcorn flick.
No.
And I don't
we
know.
We had a super respectful audience, though, which was nice.
That was nice.
Because that could go really bad.
And actually, respectable crowd. I'm still kind of dialing into my new theater. But it was a pretty full crowd for a pretty... I wonder if that is just because, you know, we're closer to the city now, and it's just going to get a bigger crowd. Like, Doctor Strange was just flat-out packed. But this was, like, a third full?
Yeah.
Half full, maybe? Which I have no idea if that's going to translate into box office success. I'd imagine this is not going to make much noise in the box office.
I wouldn't think so. I haven't seen much promotion of
Oscar?
It.
Oscar buzz?
For who? Amy?
Just for the, like, the script. Because I do, like, I think the quality of the way things work out and the fact that it's such a novel experience might get...
Yeah.
A little bit. If people see it, they might make some noise. I don't think it's going to get Best Picture or anything, and I also don't think it's going to get the traditional sci-fi awards of like special effects or maybe sound design.
There are some striking images in it.
There are striking images.
The first time you see one of these pods, it's kind of shown with this rolling fog coming over a hill, and that is
the
just
way it apparates and disapparates
visual.
Is really cool. And I thought the alien design was sweet, and I actually think the sound design. Is really neat too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, cause there's a lot of alien language and whatnot, and maybe visual design, the alien language is really striking too. Anyway, let's talk about some trailers. Before we do that though, what did you think? Cause this is the second time I've been to this movie theater. Compare and contrast, cause I'm trying to decide what is going to be my new home base. Compare and contrast this experience to your last week experience. Which do you...
So they don't serve food at this one, which
not
a
like food on a plate.
Bummer.
I ate a pizza, so I dispute the fact that they don't serve food. But yeah, they certainly don't.
They serve like this type of food you'd get at King's Island
fair enough.
An amusement park.
Concession food.
Yeah, it's concessions.
You can't get beer.
You can, and you can get wine, and you can get ciders and stuff, but you got to go to the bar and get those. You can get coffee if you want at 9 p.m. or whatever.
Why not? Start communicating with the aliens now.
But I think these chairs are a little bit better than the one
the chairs
I was
are fucking
at last
rad,
time.
Man.
They're nice. They're nice.
Like, it's going to be hard to go back to the regular old theater chairs.
I don't think I'm going to. Why would I?
Well, I'm saying, like, I imagine in my travels I will go to a conventional movie theater.
Okay,
and, like, if you don't have fucking plush recliners that recline at the push of a button and let me just rack out, then get out.
I did have trouble staying awake at the beginning of this thing.
I was actually afraid because it is so slow and it is kind of late and you get so comfy in those chairs that I imagine that...
You have a drink or two and it's over. But yeah, the chairs were a little bit better. The screen was bigger, which was nice. So I think overall, I like the theater better.
I feel like the XD projection, there's something to it because it does seem like really pops too.
Yeah, it was crisp. But you know, it's kind of a downside that I can't get an actual meal.
Right.
I had to eat these fucking pretzel bites.
I had those last week. They're
on Thursdays.
They're,
I just don't have time to eat. So the idea that I could eat in the theater while watching the movie is awesome.
Sure.
So
trailers. I want to talk about Billy Lynn's long halftime walk because I've since done some digging, I've been spending a lot of time in the movie subreddit on Reddit. And big hubbaboo about this is that Ang Lee filmed it at 120 frames per second. It's going to be displayed where possible at 120 frames per second. Now, last time there's been a big frame rate experiment was the Hobbit series, where I actually saw the first one at 48 frames per second, and I thought it made it look cheap.
Yeah.
Ang Lee's maintaining that's because you've got an uncanny valley effect, where at 24 frames per second, that reads as like cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
At 48, it looks like a soap opera. He's saying at 120 frames per second that you actually get like a lifelike quality to it. That people are going to find striking. And
so all the
very
quotes.
Mixed. There's lots of mixed stuff about some people think this is the next step in cinema, and some people say this isn't a fucking abortion.
Okay.
I know in video games, frame rate matters a lot.
Right.
I'm very surprised that there seems to be this 24 frames per second purity test that's going around right now that, like, you know, 24 right. frames or death. Like, you know, it's like it's an artistic thing. Like it's the same
like
way
dreamlike quality.
It's the same way that Roger Ebert used to talk about, you know, real film versus digital.
Right.
Like there was a couple years there where he was putting on his grandpa pants.
And he was kind of right about digital in the beginning.
In the beginning. Yeah. But he also, like, you know, every single time he'd see something film, he'd had to you know, it's like, oh, it's such a gorgeous, you know. And it, I like a 35 millimeter print or a 70 millimeter print as, you know, as much as the next guy, an IMAX print. Those yeah. things are pretty sweet, but I think the man doth press. So I don't know. In a blind test,
could he tell?
I didn't really. I was kind of interested in seeing it because I like Ang Lee's work, and I think he's kind of a vision. You know, he's a visionary filmmaker. Life of Pi is amazing. The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is amazing. I even like this Hulk. But I'm like, I'll just watch it on home. Now I'm kind of in a bind. I kind of want to see it in a theater because I want to see this new deal and get a kind of an idea for myself of whether I like it or not.
Yeah. You should probably see it then. It's next week, right? In wide release.
What? No, I thought it was in December. It's next week, really?
I think they said the 11th for like limited release and then 18th for wide, but maybe that was another movie that we saw.
I definitely want to see it. I don't know if I'm going to see it opening night.
There are so many like quotes in there that are just like, this is the next step in cinema. Like, we've never seen a movie anything close
to this.
And I think
they're talking
film.
About, because there's a lot of, it looks like there's a lot of war footage. And, you know, that's the one thing that I actually has always bugged me about films is when there's a lot of motion going on, I can see the blur and it bothers me.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious to see what this, like, you know, is this going to, I'm guessing it's going to look better than a GoPro, because when I think of like high definition, high frame rate, I think of GoPro footage, but I'm curious. I'm curious.
Okay.
Manchester by the Sea.
I also
Casey Affleck making a bid to be taken seriously as a artist, which is funny because
sure, that's fine.
Today I just added to the shop for a commission for community commissions the cowardly Robert Ford, the assassination of Jesse James by a coward Robert Ford, and okay. I guess Casey Affleck is one of those two characters in that. Because I always thought Casey Affleck is just essentially the decaffeinated version of Ben Affleck.
I don't know. So I saw him in that Joaquin Phoenix documentary.
He's very Giovanni Ribisi. He's in the same lane as that guy.
Okay, sure.
Did I butcher his name?
No.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I don't know. I kind of like Casey Affleck. He's all right. But it's also got the kid from Zero Theorem, which is a Terry Gilliam movie, however you say it. I really liked his performance in Zero Theorem, and it looks like he might do something similar, though a little more nuanced and a little more interesting here.
Yeah, the setup seems to be that Casey Affleck is getting guardianship of a teenage boy after his parents died, and maybe even like, enough family that he was probably like the last person, and it's not like a comic effect. It's more like this guy is just, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because it's like I feel like there was some scenes that showed him with the child younger, where like they had a good relationship, but it's kind of like, you know,
that disrupts your life completely.
Yeah, like if my sister told me one of the last holidays that if she died, she wanted me to take her kids. I'm like, Jesus Christ, all three of them, like.
Right. And you have to move to across the country.
Fuck yeah. And
that was,
I'm like,
the big kicker.
You know, it's like I like kids in principle, and I like my sister's kids, but that's a lot. That's a lot to mentally and emotionally take. And you got to do it, kind of.
Sure.
Like you can't just let. Like, what are you going to do?
Sorry,
let him go to foster care? Like,
right. That's well within your legal rights, as that guy says.
Sure. So I don't know. It looks interesting. It looks kind of Oscar baity, but it also looks like a quality project. Yeah.
Ben Affleck and Casey Affleck together.
Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard.
Right.
Cotillard or whatever.
That spy movie. World War
II. In Allied. I don't think we talked about this before.
I think we have.
Okay.
Many, many times, actually. And I talked about it last week.
Brad Pitt's wife might. That's right. You tried to describe it to me. Brad Pitt's wife might be a German spy
right.
in World War II.
Yeah. That's it. That's the whole
it's
thing.
It's essentially Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
He's either got to kill her or
it's the prequel of Mr. and Mr. Smith.
Yeah, pretty much.
Office Christmas Party.
I kind of think this looks funny. I like T.J. Miller sort of irrationally because of Silicon Valley.
Yep.
And I like fucking Arrested Development guy whose name I can't think
Justin
of.
Justin Bateman. And it's got Kate McKinnon.
Jennifer Aniston. Sure. I like Maul. I might want to see this.
Yeah.
There's the one particularly horrifying and hilarious scene where
the
guy swings from the second balcony.
Oh, Jesus.
And just drops onto a rack. And I don't know if he gets up from that or what, but violent, disturbing, but hilarious. And I don't know. Maybe I want to see it.
I just don't know if I enjoy those type of movies anymore. Like, I've moved on to stuff that's like more absurdist and.
Yeah.
That kind of more than I have, like, you know, something that's just like, oh, look at these people being drunk and crazy.
Right. I mean, it's a little too bro for me usually, but
yeah, we'll see.
I'll probably watch it when it comes to like Netflix or something.
So there you go. There's the trailers. We are about to engage in deep spoiler talk. I would highly encourage everyone not to listen to this next part unless you've seen the movie, if you think you're going to see it at all.
Right.
Also, if you're not a club member, you're not going to be able to because this is for club members only. Mm-hmm. Go to club.baldmove.com if you'd like to sign up to get bonus features such as this spoiler edition of the movie podcast and lots of other stuff that you can all find on the club.baldmove.com page. That's it. We are dismissing the non-club members, and we'll see you, I think, the next opportunity. 2 weeks from now, Cecily and I are going to see Fantastic Beasts, the new Harry Potter universe flick. Might have a surprise appearance, which is no longer a surprise, with my son, Mind Dragon.
Oh,
He might weigh in for the 10-year-old review of the movie.
Okay.
And awesome. Then after that, I don't think we have anything until Rogue One, which is December 15th ish.
Somewhere in there.
And might also have a 10-year-old review edition of that as well.
All right.
So that's what we got coming up for the first run movies. And we will see you then. And we'll see all the club members in the spoiler section.